Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face-to-face, in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org. Proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Church today has lost really all of its standards of holiness and separation, and this has created a terrible problem that people no longer really see the need for the church more. You remember in the days of Acts, when right out of the gates, the Holy Spirit had exercised church discipline on two members who were holding back. If you remember that story, you can go to Acts 5 and look at Ananias and Sapphira. And after the Holy Spirit struck them down, we read that great fear came upon the church, and no one dared to join them. We have so trivialized the church today, we have so said yes to everyone, that there no more is any desire or understanding of why people even need the church. This is a holy congregation. This is a separate people God has set apart in the earth, and it is the greatest privilege that God has given to a sinner to belong to the very body of Christ, a body which He purchased with His blood, a people to Himself. Being members of that is the greatest thing God has given us in our wilderness journey as we're heading to the promised land. Today we're going to look at that importance that you belong to the body of Christ at a local level and understand why God gave you a church. So thankful today that you have tuned into Abounding Grace Radio. Visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. You can call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook, download the apps for your smartphone. So many resources there for you. We would love for you to explore the website. Send us a notice to how Abounding Grace Radio is blessing you. That encourages us a great deal. And if you desire to support the program, 100% of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. Thankful, dear listener, for all of your prayerful and financial support. Here is now the program from Exodus chapter 12 and 13, which I've titled, if you're going to the website, Lest We Forget. May Abounding Grace Radio richly bless you today. Well, we have the vantage point of looking and knowing what's about to happen, don't we? We know the history of Israel. We know what is about to unfold. And two awful things were about to happen that would span the history of Israel. Two things that were tragic in Israel's history. And the Bible would continually use this phrase over and over to describe it. And it goes like this: and they forgot the Lord their God who brought them out of the land of Egypt. They forgot His wonderful works and ways to them. The Psalms capture this everywhere. Future generations would forget. Isn't that a tragedy? And then they would forget about His power to help them. They were always running to other nations for help. They were always running to other leaders for help. How could they have forgotten this? They're going to go out into the wilderness and they're going to face hunger and thirst. They're going to have struggle. This is the wilderness life. It's not easy. They're being taught dependence upon the Lord. Do you know in the very next chapter what happens? The very next chapter, first scene. What have you done, Moses, to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not what we said to you when we were in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? You have got to be kidding me. it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians. And you say, what in the world? How could you? Your God just did all this for you. You just saw put on display his power, and the first sign of conflict, you fall apart and say that? Had they forgotten all that the Lord had done for them? Already, scene one, they had already forgotten. All of his deliverance, all of his power, all of his plagues, all the mighty acts of love, all of it was forgotten. I hope that helped you understand a bit of what is going on today. That'll really help you with today, because what God is doing in the passage that I just read is putting certain things in place to help them so that future generations would never forget all the wonderful acts of the Lord for them. They would never forget his deliverance, his love. That they would continually teach the next generation these things, that goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. We're going home. You'll see how important this section is for wilderness life as they are about to begin. I struggled to break this down. This was a challenging section to really break down to be helpful for you. But as I looked at this and stepped back from it, looking at it a little bit higher from the clouds, I thought there are two major things that the Lord is saying to Israel through this as they begin their journey. He was putting certain things in place so that they would remember what God did for them in making them his separate people. And that they would pass this faith on to their children. Those are the two things. Be separate, pass your faith. That's what I come up with from this. Be separate, pass your faith. That should encourage us, because the responsibilities are no different for us. As we enter wilderness life, as we've been saved by the blood of Christ, as we have a new beginning in him, the Lord is telling you how to go forward right here. And this is beautifully laid out for us. Let's start with the first major section here. It's going to be a little more challenging than you thought when I say be separate, because it's the thing we rail against to this day. Look at verses 43 out of 52. You begin here the Passover instructions, but they're a little bit different now. Something is added now. Something is different about these Passover instructions, and the emphasis now is all driven by their new identity. Notice the emphasis. I want everyone to look actually verse 47 there. In verse 47, as he's instructing on the Passover, he says something new. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. All the congregation. You're no longer thinking separately. I'm not letting you. That's over. You did that in Egyptian life, not anymore. He's referring them, and we haven't seen this word very much in the scriptures yet. He is using the word congregation now. He referred to them distinctively as his congregation. Notice that the Lord is so openly using that the moment they're delivered, the moment they've been brought out. They're his flock, that they have just been bought by the blood of the Lamb. And they were now, always in future generations, to have this Passover feast, and they were to celebrate it, all of them. Nobody had the prerogative to say, I'm not going to that today. They were all to celebrate this together. All of them. What do you have here? The church. Our Belgic is so beautiful on this, as it's reminded us over and over. We believe this holy congregation is an assembly of those who are saved, outside of which there's no salvation. It's an assembly. It's a bought people. It's a purchased people. God saved the community. God pulled them out collectively. And this feast now, this feast was always to be a reminder of who they were. This feast was always to be a reminder of their identity. This feast was always to help them to remember they are a purchased flock.
Now, they didn't realize how much they needed that. He didn't want them to forget who they are. What a privilege. But there was something in celebrating the Passover in verse 43 that mattered a lot to the Lord. Did you catch it? Moses and Aaron, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat of it." In fact, if you were to go through this, you see a whole bunch of different types of people that had come out with them. He mentions that a mixed multitude went up with them. In 400 years, we have that some of the Israelites had married Egyptians. They had come out too. He mentions sojourners. He mentions hired workers. There were a bunch of Egyptians who saw what happened to their country, and they said, "We are out of here. We're going on for the ride. This is going to be one exciting ride if this God's in front of them." They got on the bandwagon and they wanted out of that pummeled nation. So there were a bunch of foreigners, as the Bible designates them, in the camp who would travel along with Israel. We would later see some problems with this. But they were heading out, and we didn't know their ultimate intention. Some would probably intended on separating out into the land of Canaan. But the question arose, well, what do we do about the Passover with all of these people? There must have been a significant number that were there. Can they partake? And the answer from the Lord is, no, they can't. The Lord said no. And the question is why? Why did the Lord say no? You can appreciate this, can't you? What just happened? Something terrible and something wonderful. A terrible judgment had just happened as the angel of death went out into all of Egypt and he inspected door frames and he looked for blood on the door frames. And if there was no blood on the door frames, he entered the house and he struck down the firstborn. But if there was blood put up, which was the blood of the Passover lamb, as they ate that lamb and celebrated the Passover, if it was put up on the doors of the houses, intending faith, the angel passed over. Israel deserved death too. But God loved them. God passed over their houses. So the blood of the lamb was the substitute. That was quite a thing God did. And you see, what we have in Exodus is God telling his gospel story that he's already been telling from Genesis chapter 3 when he had shed blood for Adam and covered him. And he was telling this story as it was beginning to unfold, that Israel was a part of this story, that Israel was in this story, that the Lamb of God in the future, anticipating the future, the Lamb of God would come and he would suffer and die on the cross for us so that we would never have to face judgment. I mean, there's your gospel. The Passover celebrated God's sacrificial love in the cross of Christ, looking forward. The feast was a special gift to commune. And that's emphasized here. I'll come back to that. To be fed. To be helped. To always consider the wonderful things that the Lord had done for them. This feast is the most special gift, right? That God gave. No one else received that kind of treatment. No other nation in the earth. No other peoples. The Lord had been wonderful to them. Oh, the Lord had been so good to them. The Lord had been just overwhelming. He did all of this for them. And what was he after? He wanted a commitment from them to be a part of his family. to become part of his people. And so he's telling them, I've done this for you. You are my congregation. You are my people. God had always taught them to be separate. How did one enter this family? This wasn't the first entrance sign, was it? This was a renewal kind of sign. The entrance sign was circumcision. God had told Abraham years ago in the covenant of grace, I want you to put this sign, this blood sign, on you and your children because I'm doing a marvelous act of redemption and it signifies the cutting away of your sin. And I'm including you and your children and you watch, they're going to go down to Egypt and I'm going to put on display my salvation plan and you'll, Abraham, they will come out and receive it. That was the sign of entrance into this covenant family. That was the sign of entrance into this. So what does the Lord say about all these travelers with Israel? If they want to partake, God says they need to enter the family. They need to believe the gospel. They need to be circumcised. You see that there, that the Lord says it so explicitly. If verse 48, if a stranger shall sojourn with you and would keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised. Then he may come near and keep it, and he shall be as a native of the land. There's no more distinction. He's not the latecomer. He is to be treated like everyone else. What a wonderful thing. You see what the Lord was after? Commitment to the family, to become members of the body. He wanted them to join the body. Now, I think if you had walked up to all those foreigners and said, do you believe in the God of Israel? Do you think any of them would have said no? They had just watched him pummel Egypt. They had just watched Yahweh display his power. They had just seen the God of Israel do wonders no other God could do. Everyone would have said, well, of course we believe in Yahweh. Pharaoh believed in Yahweh. Do you know what this would sound like today? Don't question my faith. I believe. I want to partake, but don't you dare stand back as the church and judge me. I don't have to be a member of any church. I am the church. Oh man, I hear that all the time. I've heard that more times than I ever care to in the course of my 12 years of pastoring. I am the church. Don't tell me that. And no commitment was ever made. I have no idea where that person stood. So the Lord said, Israel, I want you to tell them no. No. That is so crucial for us today. We need to understand this. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, think about that. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed and was celebrating the Passover, you remember that week as they were all preparing and celebrating. Remember the Lord in the midst of that instituted the supper and he gave the supper to the fulfillment in the new covenant community. This is the new covenant in my blood, blood of the Lamb. You know he said the same thing? Take, eat, all of you. Together. This is what we went through in Corinth. They were doing it all hodgepodge, together. Because if anyone tramples this underfoot, they can eat and drink judgment on themselves. Entrance into the family is not circumcision. Entrance into the family is what? Baptism. We don't need a bloody sign. We need a water sign. You know, the church today has all these same people. We have travelers who come by all the time. We have temporary resident aliens, if you will. We have passers-by. We have a bunch of people in and out of church, in and out, in and out. I mean, we are like In-N-Out Burger here. In and out. Almost all that come in here say they believe in God. I've rarely had anyone come in here or in my previous charge and say, I don't believe. Here's the problem. It's epidemic. We live in a day where the people of our day are absolutely unwilling to make any commitment to Jesus at all. None. Besides whatever they want to do. Jesus had all sorts of attendees following him. Do you remember that? All these people constantly following him all the time and never making the commitment. And there were constant conflicts with Jesus getting in their face about this and saying, listen, you really want to follow me? Foxes have holes, birds have nests. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Are you sure? You sure you want to really count that cost? Do you know what it might require? He called people to make the decision, get on the horse or get off. Don't sit in the middle. He gave his community the supper, remember? He gave his community the supper to celebrate the special work of redemption on the cross for you. This is what he did. And the question is no different for us. Well, what then do we do with all of these residents, in residence? What do we do with all these temporary passers-by? Feels so unloving, doesn't it? You say no. You say no. You say, that's got to be, Pastor, a way to kill a church. That's got to be the most unloving thing you could possibly do to people. Really? The alternative is to do what most churches have done in our day and just open all this up to everyone, this table, to anyone who so feels moved. Does that give meaning anymore to what you're doing? We seem embarrassed today about our identity. We seem embarrassed today about our distinctiveness. We seem so embarrassed. We're all backwards on this, by the way. Do you know what we've lost today in the church? Any fear or consideration of what it means to be members of the body of Christ. Why is that? Why is there no fear to join this anymore? Our problem is we don't want to say no to anyone. Notice what the Lord created by all these people standing there and saying no. They might come up, verse 48, and say, why not? There's a witness tool here, isn't there? They might come up, verse 48, and say, why can't we partake? We want to partake. Or they might get mad enough and make a choice about their relationship to God, and they may either leave or they might join. And when they ask, you can then call them to a new life. What a great evangelistic opportunity. When all that's lost, your distinction's lost. Why does membership matter nothing to people today in the church? All it is asking you to make a commitment to Jesus. Why does it matter nothing? Because you've lowered the bar so low today. Nobody understands its importance anymore. You can come and go in whatever's convenient for you. It's kind of like living in the day where every kid gets a participation trophy. Did you know that? Biggest business right now is participation trophies. It is booming. I didn't have that when I was a kid. I was a loser in many things. I needed that. You've got to have losers to have winners, don't you? There's no standard anymore in the church. So there's no importance to join it. Why do I need to? So people can partake of the church without any regard anymore to sin or discipline in their lives. We treated the church just like any other human organization, like the gym. We've got to recover a fear of being a part of this. A right fear. Do you know in the early church, two people sinned right out of the gates? Their names were Ananias and Sapphira. Do you know what the Holy Spirit did to set it off? He exercised discipline. He knocked him down. Now, that doesn't seem to make any sense. Do you know what it said right after that? It said, as soon as the Holy Spirit exercised the key of the kingdom himself to set the pattern for the church, it said this, great fear came upon everyone, and no one dared to join them. How's that for an evangelistic tool? That was the Holy Spirit's evangelistic tool. Daniel Baker, I remember reading an independent at the Independent Presbyterian Church of Savannah years ago, when he took that call, his preaching was so plain and so pointed that he started, when he first got there, getting a lot of complaints. People were nervous about him. An elder came up to him and said, Mr. Baker, you continue to preach this way, none of our young people are going to join the church. It's the biggest fear for everyone. None of our young people are going to join the church. I'm going to make a profession. To which I said Baker, I don't wish them to join unless they're converted. You ever told your young people that? How special it is to be a part of this. God purchased you with the blood of his son. When we're embarrassed about our identity and make no stance about it and our separateness is lost, you've dumped your witness. And everything's common. And people have no idea why they even need to come to the church, and that's why it's emptying out today.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace. Static, noise, that's all we hear, or so it seems. Where would you go? What would you pay to hear the truth? Good news, it's free and nearby. The Bible is God's truth. At the Escondido United Reformed Church, Chris Gordon preaches Christ the truth from God's Word every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, 760-745-1679, EURC.org.